We've been looking through the book of Isaiah. Our main text today is Isaiah 31, but Isaiah 31 is a text, it's an oracle that God gave to Isaiah, and it is, though, surrounding another story that pretty much goes through Isaiah. It really identifies the time and the struggle of the people of God during Isaiah's day. And that is the crisis that was coming was the Assyrian army was going to come and attack Jerusalem, and they were going to surround Jerusalem. And you know, the question always is for God's people, you know, where do we turn when crisis comes? How does God use those crises in our life to help us know Him better, right? And so the reminder, we've kind of dealt with this subject a little bit, but one of the things about the prophets is they do repeat themselves very often. And this is important for two reasons. One is there's a verse here that I have kept in my mind, I think, you know, for 35 years as a Christian. It's just one of those things that struck me way back, and we'll get to that in a minute. And it's just a good verse to kind of keep in your mind, in your heart, when you're facing trials, when you're facing troubles. It'll probably surprise you a little bit. First, let's set the table that Assyria was the empire of the day, and Isaiah 7 says that the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any time since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Now what it was, there was an empire that was growing to the north, and that empire was going to be God's instrument for punishment. God was going to punish Israel to the north, and He was going to remove Israel from the history of the Bible, going to take them out. Now the southern kingdom, Judah, was being spared. All right, so what happens is Assyria went all the way, they actually went all the way down to Egypt, and on their way, they come to Jerusalem. So what happens, you have this army, this great army, this fierce army, this numerous army coming and surrounding Jerusalem, and it creates a crisis for the people, right? So the armies, like we said last time, the army of Assyria, it's on the move and it's coming down, and it is going to enter in and take over the land where the people of God live, right? And the question for them is, where will they turn in that hour of trouble, okay? So Isaiah 36 tells us, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. And when the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. So here it is, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he surrounded Jerusalem. And what he did was he came up to the walls of Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem are taller than this building. And he came up to oops, what happened to you? Don't do that. All right. Stop. All right. So he came up to the walls of Jerusalem, and he had a letter. And in this letter he said, "We're going to destroy Jerusalem. We're going to take all of your people captives. We're going to, you know, take everything you own." And it was going to be a very bad day for the people of Jerusalem. And when the people on the wall heard him speaking, they were speaking in their own language. They said, "Hey, why don't you talk to us in a language that only we understand?" And the response was, "What we're going to do is going to happen to everybody that can hear us. So we're going to tell you in very plain language that everybody understands, we're going to annihilate you, and we're going to take everything you have away." Okay? All right. So we got problems today. Stop that. All right. So the question is, in this time of stress, in this time of crisis, how are the people going to respond? Remember I told you one time earlier where Ahaz was in trouble, you know, and the question was, who is he going to do? Is he going to listen to God, or was he going to go, and he actually went to Assyria for his help. And the question is now, where are these people going to turn? There's this fierce enemy surrounding them, threatening them. What's going to happen to them, right? This is the text that I love. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help. Everybody say that first line with me. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help, who rely on horses and trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. The idea of Egypt. Now, Egypt was at the time, early in history. When you study world history, you usually start with Egypt because it's one of the oldest, most ancient, most sophisticated societies in world history early on. Back, you're talking about, you know, 3, 4, 5,000 B.C. sometimes. By the time Abraham came to Egypt, as a matter of fact, the pyramids were already over 1,000 years old, all right? So when you talk about Egypt, you're talking about the power of the world. You're talking about a very sophisticated theology that had nothing to do with God. It was idolatrous. It was terrible, right? You had a great economy compared to the rest of, and you had one of the largest armies in the world, right? So if you think about Egypt in those terms, about the idea of this great worldly power, worldly authority, worldly finance, and then you think to yourself, woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help. That's when God wrote this, was when this Assyrian army came around them. Because one thing they could have done was send envoys down to Egypt and say, come rescue us, bring your chariots, bring your army, and save us from the hand of the enemy, right? You think about it today, folks. Some folks trust in our government to save us, you know? Some people think, well, you know, I'll trust in the American dollar, the American economy. That'll save us. I'll trust in the medical system. That'll save my life, right? And there's all these different ideas that go along with being an American where people might turn in their hour of stress, in their hour of need, in their hour of trouble. And I'd say to you, woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help and do not look for the Lord for their help, right? Because we want to know that we first seek the Lord. Says about the Lord that he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against the house of the wicked, against those who help evildoers. But the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. But when the Lord stretches out his hand, he who helps will stumble and he who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. The worldly people and worldly things are very limited in what they can do for us, you know? You take the richest person in the world, and the minute that his heart fails, the minute that his lungs start pumping air, right? What good is his money? What good is all that power that he possessed? It's only good while he's alive. It's only good for a very short period of time, right? You think about governments and how, you know, if you know history, governments rise and governments fall. Countries come and countries go. Borders are changed all the time. We had a friend here, Chimezie Agu from Nigeria, Africa, and we tried to find a map of Nigeria, and he kept, well, that's an old map, and they were like from 1960, then there was one from 1980, but they were all old maps because the landscape had changed so many times from different groups taking power, taking control over different parts of the country, right? Everything about this world, all the worldly powers, they only possess strength that can help us for a little while. They can't reach into the real depth, the real serious issues of life, right? Who are you? Who are you? What strength do you possess inside of you? What strength do you have to bring justice, to know the truth or not know the truth? What power do you have to live right with the living God? What power do you have to live eternally, to go on into the kingdom of heaven? None of these worldly powers can give you any of those answers. They can't do anything for us at all. They're very limited compared to the Lord. He says, the Lord is wise. You know, there's no one who knows more than God. That's why we spend all of our time in the Word of God. We want to hear the Word. We want to know the Word. Because when God gives us advice, when God gives us counsel, it comes from an eternal mind. It comes from a perfect mind, an all-knowing mind. He knows more than any of us and all of us put together. You know, because he is the Lord. He says, the Lord is also able to do more than anybody else can do. You know, we just had a small group of people coming up here for prayer. And I tell you this, I know God hears prayers. I know that when things really hurt us, even things that are kind of just simple things to others, but maybe very important to us. And when we set our heart on the Lord and we begin to call on God, we begin to ask God for help and strength, right? Our God is able to answer us. Our God is able to do more than anybody else for us. He not only, and it's not so much about changing the temporary circumstance. What God tends to do is change us. What God tends to do is make us able to stand. What God tends to do is make us a bit stronger, a bit wiser, a bit more like Him, right? So when we turn our face, we call upon the name of the Lord, there's a power in God. There's a grace in God that helps us. And again, nobody else can do that. It says that, when people rise up, when wicked people rise up, when bad things come your way, right? I'm telling you, as a pastor, unfortunately, I've known that. I've known, the pain of wagging tongues, and I've known the pain of watching people falter and fail and get angry with it, I think everybody here knows something about the pains of life and the troubles that come our way, right? And sometimes it's really hard to know. I often pray, Lord, is that because I'm an idiot? Or is it because they're an idiot? In other words, which one of us is wrong? Because I don't always know. I never want to be the one that causes problems. But let's face it, it's likely that I could cause a problem, right? But I know that God knows. I know that God is able. And so when I turn towards Him, I know that in His Spirit, I know that in His truth, in His Word, I'm going to get real justice. I'm going to get a real answer. Some of us know if you go to a court, you might not get a real justice. You might not get a righteous answer, right? But with the Lord God Almighty, it's always true. It's always right. And His ways are always better than anybody else's. So again, when you think about, what do you do? Where do you turn? He says, the Egyptians, again, it just uses this analogy. They're weak. They're men. And they are not God. Folks, if you're believing that medical science is going to give you eternal life, I've got news for you. It can't come close. If you're believing that the government is going to finally wake everybody up and there's going to be justice in this world, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. If you trust in things of men rather than in God, you're going to find yourself faltering. You're going to find yourself falling down. So here it is. The people of God were surrounded by Assyria. And, God gives them this message, woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help, but do not turn to the Lord. Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Israel. There were only two good kings without exception, Hezekiah and Josiah. There were six others that were good, but they didn't tear down the high places. King Hezekiah heard about the threats from Assyria. They came and they gave him the letter from the Assyrian commander saying, we're going to come in and we're going to destroy your houses and we're going to take away your property and we're going to take your children and we're going to take your wives and there's nothing going to be left. And Hezekiah, he went into the temple. He tore his clothes. He humbled himself. He threw ashes on his head and he began to call on the name of the living God. He began to cry out for God to give him help, for God to give him strength, because he knew the Egyptians couldn't do as much for him as Almighty God. Folks, that's where we belong, right? That's where we belong. When the day of trouble comes, when the day of trial comes, when the day of testing comes, when the day of evil comes, as Paul calls it, he says, that's the day where we go in and we call upon the name of the living God. We lay the threats of the enemy down in front of him. We say, Lord, this is what they'd like to do to us. This is what they'd like to take from us. This is what they'd like to touch in our lives. And we say, Almighty God, I know their threats. I know their power. But I'm calling on the living God. I'm calling on Yahweh Sabaoth. I'm calling on the Lord of hosts. I'm calling on one that can answer better than anyone can answer. I'm calling on you, Almighty God. Be my help and be my strength. Be my salvation, O Lord. And as Hezekiah went in and prayed that prayer, the Lord heard him. The Lord answered him. See, this is what the Lord says to me. This is, again, coming back to Isaiah 31. As a lion growls a great lion over his prey. And though a whole band of shepherds is called together against him, he's not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty, will come down to do battle on the Mount Zion and on its heights. Like birds hovering overhead, the Almighty will shield Jerusalem, and he will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over, and it will and will rescue it. That word Passover goes back to Exodus, where the Lord passed over and saved all the people who put blood on their door, and yet the firstborn of everything in Egypt died. It's a sign of God's saving grace and saving power. Here it is. You know, this is talking about an ancient city and an ancient people. It's talking about the place where the Lord put his name, Jerusalem. When they built the temple and Solomon prayed, Lord, please put your name here. The Lord said, I will put my name there. Now, you know, the Lord doesn't put his name on buildings. We have a building here. This building doesn't belong to the kingdom of heaven. What's inside of it does. What's inside of it belongs to Almighty God. The name of God is written on every believer. The name of God is written in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We are the thing. Look at what this says. It says the Lord's like a lion when he goes to protect his. When he goes to protect his people, he's like a lion. You can get a whole army of shepherds, he said. You can get a whole army out just yelling, go away, lion, go away. And a lion doesn't look up once because he's a mighty lion. He says, that's how the Lord is. When the Lord comes to save, when the Lord comes to protect, when the Lord hears us calling on him and he comes to do his work in our lives, nothing, nothing, nothing can stop him. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because he is Yahweh Sabaoth. He is the Lord Almighty. There's no one like him. There's no one like him. And so here, Hezekiah, in this moment of terror, in this moment of crisis, he goes in and he calls upon the name of the Lord, you know? And he knows that when the Lord promises to save, people are saved. He knows that when the Lord promises to protect, people are protected. He knows that when, you know, trouble is all around and we need deliverance, the Lord is the deliverer. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help, but do not look to the Lord. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help, but do not look to the Lord. That verse I have kept in my head through the years. And every time I start to run to my bank account or run to you know, some other local means of help, that verse reminds me, no, 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 no. The first place you run, the first thing you do is you call upon the name of the Lord. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for your help. I'm going to Almighty God. I'm going to call on him. Return to him. Return to him, you who have so gravely revolted against, to the one whom you have so gravely revolted against, O Israel. I want to go to this one first, sorry. I want to go to this one first. Then the angel of the Lord, this is the end of the story of the threat of Assyria in Isaiah 37. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And when the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. See, Hezekiah, he got a threatening letter, 185,000 soldiers threatening to destroy his city, destroy his land, take all of his property, take his children and take his wives, to take everything away. And he took that letter in and he called upon the name of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord came down and he went through that army camp and he got rid of every one of them. And it says the king of Assyria, he was smart. He never came back. You see, he never came back. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people, brother. But the thing for us to think about, at the end of this Isaiah 31, where the Lord is talking about the right attitude in the middle of this crisis, he says at the end of it, return to him you have so greatly revolted against, O Israelites. And we've talked about, remember, the Israelites were worshiping idols. The Israelites were involved in all kinds of pagan practices. They had not been right with God. They had not been serving God the way they should have been serving God. And here it is, God delivers them in this great hour of crisis. God comes and He saves their lives. He saves their cities, all their property, everything they own is protected by the Lord. And the Lord gives this call. One of my favorite words in Hebrew is shuv, which means to return. It means come back. Come back to me. Come back to me. And it says, and literally it would say, to the one whom you turned your back on and gone the other way. He's saying, you see my great saving hand. You see how I helped you. Now turn towards me and come to me and call me your God and call me your Savior and call me Yahweh Sabaoth again, right? I want you to think about this. You know, sometimes trials and troubles, they come into our life. And we lift up our hearts in prayer. And we call upon the name of the Lord. And I have to tell you, I have seen God. Like when I, you know, in a time of distress, a time of trouble, I will call upon the name of the Lord. And I said, Lord, you see the pain in my heart. You see the trouble in my soul. And then, I mean, God answers prayers. God answers those prayers. And I see the answer right in front of me, you know. And it's like, what's God doing? God's calling me to faithfulness. It's not just for a good feeling. It's not just so I can use God like a bubblegum machine when I need something. I pop in my quarter, get what I want. It's so that God's telling me, you do realize I hear you when you call my name. You do realize I am a God who answers. You do realize I am Yahweh Sabaoth. Come to me. That's what he's saying, and that's what he's saying to the people after he saved their lives and saved their city. He said, come to me, return to him you've so greatly revolted against, O Israelites. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold your sinful hands have made. Assyria will fall by a sword that is not made of man, a sword not of mortals will devour them. They will flee before the sword, and their young men will be put to forced labor. Their stronghold will fall because of terror. At the sight of the battle standard, their commanders will panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. The Lord is telling his people, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to give you what you need. And what you need most is to turn to me. Turn to him. Turn to Almighty God. Folks, if you know that God has ever heard your voice when you pray to him, if you've ever seen God answer, you know what that is, what that really means is God wants you to turn with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Turn to him and call on his name and trust in him. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for their help, but do not turn to the Lord in their hour of need. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we pray indeed that you will help us to know who you are, to live our lives before you. And when the hour of stress comes, when the evil day comes, when crisis come into our lives, Lord, let it be us who go into that inner room and call upon your name and ask for your deliverance and ask for your strength, Almighty God. And when we see your answers, let us rejoice because we know that Almighty God is with us, that you care about us, and you hear our prayers. We are so thankful to you, Father. We are so thankful that you are indeed a living and mighty and loving God. Where do we see such wisdom? Where do we see such strength? And where do we see that combined with such love as you've shown us? Help us, Almighty God, to be your people. And help us, Almighty God, to turn toward you with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength, that we will know you as our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Daily walking close to thee.
Make sure you say goodbye to a dozen people or so.